everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Meta. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me this time by a special request from all the listeners of The Meta. They made a suggestion that I contact you, one Liam Gallagher. Hello, Liam.
Hi. All your listeners suggested. That's a lot.
Well, we don't have that many listeners, so...
Okay.
So, for those who might not know you, could you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm a long-standing Minion player down here in Australia. I've represented Australia at two WTCs, usually on like B teams rather than the main team. But I'm known locally for more or less monolisting Arcadius for, it's got to be about 9 years now. I started playing at the, right at the very start of Mark II. I think it was the week Arcadius released. And I've basically only played pigs in that sort of time period. Yeah, I occasionally have a bit of success in, competitive tournaments. I think places like, CanCon down here in Australia is, at one of our biggest events. As well as occasionally traveling internationally. I went to Lock and Load last year and played in the Iron Gauntlet. Didn't do amazing, but yeah, it's given that last year's Iron Gauntlet rules required me as a pig player to mono list, that I think I still did reasonably well. And yeah, that's kind of me. I'm someone who just decided that they really, really liked one specific corner of the game and sort of managed to do reasonably well competitively in spite of that.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting then, we're going through some of our questions with some of the listeners. So the reason I say that, I'm not sure how many people knew that you were more Pharaoh-focused, so we might have a few more Minions general questions for you, but I'll still toss them out to you and see if you have a response when you get to them.
Sure.
Just to give a quick overview of what we'll do, we'll talk to each other for about 45 or 50 minutes, and that'll be the main episode, and then we'll do another bonus episode that's about 45 or 50 minutes as well, and it will be available for the people who support us on Patreon. So, let's dive in. We have actually a pretty good set of questions for you. Mm-hmm. And when we run out of questions from the players, I'll start interrogating you myself.
I can't wait.
So, first question is from Joji, and he says, "Why have you been a devout Minionist? Is it the aesthetic or the playstyle or something else?"
Oh, it definitely started out with the aesthetic. All the way back in 2010, I was considering starting a new war game. I hadn't played one in a little while. And a friend of mine from America said that he'd been playing this game called War Machine, so I decided to take a look at it. And saw Lord Carver's model, Pig with the shotgun, and went, yeah, all right, I can play that. And did a little bit of research and found out that there was sort of, like, at the time, we had two War Beasts, like, three units, and the only Pharaoh solo was Barosh and Brian. But still figured that, you know, I'd never been a particularly competitive player in any of my previous games, so I decided that I didn't mind too much if I wasn't playing anything particularly strong. They just looked really cool. What kind of kept me in it, though, was definitely the gameplay, particularly Dr. Arcadius. I've been playing him more or less constantly as a presence in any, like, list pair or casual game nights whenever ever since I started him a couple of months after starting the game. His, him specifically, his toolbox, I feel, is so deep. It's something that I've always been able to learn, improve my game on, for the entire time I've been playing the game. And as a consequence, I've never seen much need to look outside of, Minions in general, Pharaoh specifically, in pretty much the entire time I played War Machine, even once I started becoming a bit more interested in the competitive side of it.
Okay. So, we next have a question from IR Jake, mm-hmm. and he says, "Liam, hello. I am Jake. I know that you are a longtime bacon-only player. What do you have against Gatorman Bacon?
Well, for one, I finally got to visit Louisiana last year, and I quite enjoyed eating bacon. Gator bacon. But, yeah, it's... although, interestingly, there was also a lot of very, very good pig bacon. Yeah, it was... I don't have anything against gators specifically. I don't think that's a surprise. It's more that I just sort of locked onto pigs with like a monomaniacal focus for most of the time that I played it. And recently I have more and more gator models have crept into my lists over the course of Mark 3. My Sturm and Drang list is a pretty good example where the main center of the list is a Dracodar run by Maya. And the entire list, I think, only actually has 4 pigs in it. But I still get to think of myself as a Pharaoh purist as long as I only play the Pharaoh Warlocks, right? That's how that works.
Okay. My cat is wanting to step on my keyboard and ruin this recording. All right, so next question. Mm-hmm. This is from Greylord Dave. Is Arcadius the best beast caster in the game?
Yeah, I'd say so. If not the best, he's certainly right near the very top. Sometimes it depends a little bit on what you're looking for, but he's certainly not going to give you a powerful beast brick or anything like some Borka 2 or some of the Scorn casters like Makeda 3 could manage. Okay. But yeah, he gives you a lot of table space to work with because of the sheer amount of speed he offers his army. And think of a few small things like will work for food, giving everything in his battle group overtake is a well not everything in his battle group, every war beast in the list, but means that his war beast can actually work well into a variety of different matchups. Sometimes you have a warhog just do nothing but overtake its way through 6 infantry unit models in a turn, and that's just as valid as putting it into a heavy. And and he's got enough tools there, like enough damage buffs and defense debuffs, that generally speaking, the defense profile of your opponent isn't terribly important. You can usually find a way to swing the odds back towards you hitting them, breaking armor. It's I find him to be extremely good into a very wide range of different matchups, just due to the sheer number of tools he has at his disposal.
Okay, and so his next question is, mm-hmm. What's a good pair for Arcadius?
Ooh, that's like the eternal question. I had a lot of success last year with Sturm und Drang. So I, once Under Chief Maya came out, I thought it would be fun to see if I could get him to work. I'd had a little bit of success in the past running Sturm und Drang with a Meat Thresher as just something big with Polarity Shield on it, but you could just sort of bully the board a bit. But the Meat Thresher was always a little bit too fragile to really do what I wanted it to do, and so I figured upgrading it to a Dracodar would go a long way. That list, so at the time you had problems like Devourer's Host and few other like infantry lists, which while Arcadius could do a reasonable amount of work into them, he usually couldn't do quite enough work. His battle group's pretty flimsy, so if you're up against something like Tharn, particularly run by Iona or something, if you leave like 4 Tharn alive, each one of them is just about going to solo one of your heavies. It's what Sturm und Drang offered in that case was the ability to really dictates the terms of engagement, so that your opponent can't bring too much of their, for one, infantry lose out on their charge bonuses, which is against the Dracodar, which is great. And you've got models like Dahlia and Scarath existed in that list, which are also just excellent when your opponent's made primarily out of living infantry. So I'm still running Sturm und Drang as a pair to Arcadius, but I don't know if my confidence was shaken or if I with them, or if the meta's just sort of moved on at this point, but I'm finding I'm dropping them less and less recently. Arcadius picking up Void Archons also definitely increased the number of lists I'm happy to play him into that I used to default towards Sturm und Drang for. So it's possible that Arcadius is just starting to crowd Sturm und Drang out, and I need to really start looking for a new pair.
All right, so his next question is, what are the key elements of a Yaga Jaga gunline?
Ooh, okay. So this is a bit outside of my my personal ballpark, but I would say we've got a local player who swears by Ironback Spitters, just runs a whole lot of them, Dahlia and Scarath, all work for food. I think, the Dahlia and Scarath are also an interesting choice, because Scarath's just an excellent target for whatever that spell is that gives the target +2 defense and Poltergeist. Makes Scarath a right pain to deal with.
Okay. Any other final thoughts with Jaga Jaga?
It's probably the bulk of my knowledge with her, I'm afraid. It's mostly just been watching her be played from across the table.
All right. So, next question. This is from Chrono, which is also one James Morehouse. He says, I understand you've been playing Arcadius since 2010. Must have been a wild ride for you. Why has he become your main?
Particularly for all of Mark II, he was an absolute nightmare to play correctly. So there was like a, rather than just having to worry about beating your opponent, you were also spending the entire game worrying about, not ruining yourself by placing one model in the wrong spot at the wrong time and making your feet non-functional. That sounds terrible, but it had the advantage of just making sure that I never really wanted to go away from him, because I just had to keep practicing him, and losses usually felt like they were down to me slipping up rather than anything like matchup or anything of that sort. So that was great. That's the kind of thing that kept me from getting bored of the relatively small roster models in Pharah. In Mark III, obviously, with the ability to direct his feet targets, he became a lot easier to play. But he still offers I like to feel in control of the tempo of the game, and being able to set the engagement line more or less anywhere you want on the table against the overwhelming majority of lists is quite the drug. Even without having to fight tooth and claw against your own feet, you've still got so many options with how fast he is and how many places on the table he can get to, it fulfills that desire I have to feel like I'm the one, dictating how this game is going to play out. And also assassinations. I really enjoy assassinations. They're like it's always fun. Approaching the game, I guess, from the look of from just a puzzle where your opponent gets if you get the first turn with Arcadius, your opponent gets one turn to present you with this puzzle for you to unpick, and if you do successfully work out the solution to the puzzle, you win the game. It's great. Everyone gives you a different puzzle, and it's always and Arcadius just usually gives you the tools to figure out a way through it if you're paying attention, you know his toolkit well enough.
So the follow-up question from James is, does anyone challenge Sturmandrang as your second caster?
I'm thinking about it at the moment. I'm hoping Helga 2 comes out in a spot where she feels useful. One of the challenges I think I've been having with Arcadius right now is that he's not particularly efficient at killing Archons, particularly models like the Menite Archon. Those models and it makes sense. Historically, he's always had a bit of a problem with Dragoons, anything or even Light Warjacks. Anything with a reasonably tanky stat line kind of gets to the point where he needs to dedicate a heavy to kill it. But if he dedicates a heavy to kill it, then that's just a bad use of that heavy, just on a points trade perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal happens with Menite Archons. I can only realistically kill them with a heavy unless I can get a fair few buffs, debuffs, and a Void Archon onto them. So by and large, I like the look of Helga in the sense that she's extremely accurate and she hits hard enough to sort of do that herself. So if I end up feeling I can ride a good Hell of a Two list, I might consider swapping out Sermon Drang and seeing how she fares. Like I said before, adding Void Archons to Arcadia's list, it means that he kind of infringed a bit on what was traditionally a Sermon Drang matchup. Models like Tharn Ravagers are very susceptible to Void Archons, so I'm finding less and less need to drop Sermon Drang into Circle. Though, all the same, there are still going to be holes in the matchups if I do switch to Helga and leave out Sturman Drang. But that's always the case. It's always something yeah, you can't account for. That's basically where I am at the moment. I like Sturman Drang a lot. I'm extremely proud of that list. And I'm definitely keeping an eye on whether or not Archons in particular are going to change how I approach list building.
Okay, so we'll actually skip to a kind of a follow-up question off of what we were just talking about. And we have a question from one Hybrid Monkey D. He says, the rules for Helga 2 have been spoiled. What do you predict will be her future in the faction?
Sir, I'm not enormously impressed with Helga 2 as she is. Like I said, I think she has, there's potential for her to have space there as the second list in a list pairing for solving problems like, lists with Menite Archons or other reasonably cheap, reasonably difficult to deal with, models where she kind of has the right stat line for doing that. She is ultimately a caster that wants to do work personally, and those casters are, always a little bit fraught. Particularly, I think minions have it pretty bad in that we don't have a lot of models that receive the few things that she does do for her army well, and the ones that do benefit from things like her feet or primed have other flaws that she doesn't make up for. For example, if you run her in Thornfall Alliance, you're losing out on all of the damage buffs and fury support that she can get in Will Work for Food. And while she gets a decent number of units that quite like getting primed on them, she's also in a position where she's not solving the fact that the main problem with peak infantry isn't their accuracy or their damage, it's that they are slow and have a very hard time being delivered. I've played a lot of Midas who back before I got onto Sturman Drang, he used to be my go-to as a Arcadius pair just to force people to not drop pure armor skews into me. And his problem is always, and he's got the exact same situation with her where he gives a ton of accuracy and damage to his army, but he can't really get it into position. So you're sort of handing over control of the game to your opponent. As the problem running in her and Will Work for Food, though, is that she doesn't have a good unit for primed. Nyss are probably your best look, but there's still a nearly 20-point unit that now explodes and has, and again, she doesn't offer any way to deliver them. They're a bit better than peak infantry, but they're still just speed 6, 1-inch melee without terribly impressive shooting. And the models in the faction that I think best benefit from her feet, Meat Thresher and Roadhog in particular, are their problem has always been that they're pillow fisted and she doesn't buff, have any way of increasing the amount of damage either of those two models do. So yeah, I'm hoping I've been playing a fair few games with her based on the spoiled rules, and I like playing her. She's a lot of fun, but I'm tentative about her future in the competitive meta just because of the she faces a lot of difficulty with this construction and actually enacting her game plan against anyone who's even moderately fast or has any real control effects.
All right, so
call me tentatively hopeful.
Okay,
but concerned.
Okay, so this is kind of in a similar vein. This is from David. He says, with access to Riot Quest as an opportunity to get new solos, what do you think would be some necessary features for a Feral / Blindwater release that really enabled those themes?
Interesting. I think you could do a lot with a couple of solos or unit attachments or something for Pharaoh. Not sure what my Obviously, one of the main issues with them is speed. So something like Desperate Pace would be huge.
Yeah.
If we were to get a Desperate Pace solo into Stormfall Alliance, that would be fantastic. Gators would probably also appreciate that, but I don't think they're quite in the same boat as Barrett. So outside of that, I do still really want to get some more games in with Thornfall when I have an opportunity, just trying out Dunia and Archons, because there's there's a few interesting things I think you can do with them, but the problem is still that issue of, like I said before, I'm someone who likes feeling in control of the tempo of the game, and Thornfall doesn't have that. It's my one major the one thing that keeps me from playing them is that I always feel like tell my opponent they get to do whatever they want to me, and then with my 10 models remaining, I can probably kill between 30% and 60% of their army, and, you know, if that ends up being enough, that's enough. But it's not a particularly enjoyable experience. You're always on the receiving end for the bulk of it with models that just straight up don't have good stats. So with that in mind, what would help? I think a unit attachment for commandos that makes me actually want to play commandos would be a big deal, just because them having advanced deployment, it means that I always kind of want to take them just so I have some kind of board presence, but they sort of don't do anything once they're there. It's a tough one. I tend to focus a bit myopically on what I have rather than what I want. So I'm not the best at wish listing, but I think, I would love to see this isn't even anything particularly specific. I would just really like a non-character Pharah solo, because there are none as far as I can recall. And, just be nice to have something.
All right. So his next question, mm-hmm. Along the same line, is needed to make infantry viable? Does there need to be a meta shift, or is there something else that can happen?
Well, I mean, infantry are viable in plenty of other fashions. You've got Wolves of Winter, Exalted, Devourer's Host is few of the closer to medium base infantry, but I think it's certainly clearly possible to make viable infantry lists. I think Pharah are getting there. The point drops on slaughterhouses were honestly huge. In particular, they're very much worth taking, I think, at 9 points. The problem is, as always, just getting there. The big one for Pharah specifically is that we don't have an infantry warlock at all. Midas and Helga are probably the two closest. Helga kind of wants a lot of what's available in Woolworth food, which means that she doesn't tend to run very infantry heavy. And I like Midas I've played a lot of games with Midas. I used to run him with 40 Bone Grinders back in Mark II when they had the Arcane Bolt as a spell, just to create almost a gun line of extremely accurate long-range lasers, which was one way of actually getting control of the tempo of the game. But Midas doesn't protect his troops or make them faster, and the two big problems with Pharah is that they're slow and they die easy. So if we were to get a warlock with some good delivery mechanism, like a defensive feat or a Crusader's Call's spell, or ideally both, that would be a big deal, I think. Because if you look at the roster, if you look at the roster of casters, you've got Carver, where his entire spell list is all about his battle group. You've got Arcadius, who's obviously doesn't care one whit for infantry. You've got Midas is almost there if his feet, I think, resurrected infantry instead of in some capacity Pyroclaimer style rather than resurrecting war beasts. He would be I almost think that would be enough. Like, that change would let Midas do a lot of work with infantry. But yeah, it's and Sturm and Drang, they've got such a weirdly specific kit that I don't think they really work at all without models like the Dracodile and Dahlia and Scarath, so they're never going to have any points for infantry in their lists. Ultimately, I think that's it. It just boils down to being a warlock problem. We're a sub-faction full of infantry, but run by war beast warlocks.
All right, so the next question that we have, he says, is there a simple solution just to make more of the will work for food support available in the other themes? Is that something that you would find to be very valuable? Or what are some of your opinions on the themes, or what are some issues you have when you're playing them?
Right. So I don't have a lot of experience or any experience with Blind Order, so right. I can't really speak there. Thornfall, like I said, main problems there are board presence and delivery. Although the trenches are nice, I gotta give props to the Oblivion change, which gave two trenches within 20 inches of your board to Thornfall Alliance. That's actually been quite a boon. Outside of that, the work for food support isn't actually what the light, like, obviously Midas loves having a soul slave around. He likes having, spirit cauldrons fueling him up on corpses. But a lot of it feels a little bit, unnecessary at times. Like, if you run him with war beasts and you manage to engineer getting your war beasts killed early in the game, which is, almost the game plan with Midas, you've got, like, between 7 and 9 fury being thrown around, and that's usually plenty. You just decide which parts of your opponent's army you're just going to obliterate with Calamity and Battlelust, and then you, hide Midas somewhere and let Pig Infantry, which already have great offensive stats, do the work. Helga is probably the one I would be, that feels like, she should be a Thornfall Alliance caster, but is locked into Will Work for Food because of, mostly because she's only really fun to play if you're playing her with River Raiders and Void Archons. I don't know if making those making at least Void Archons. I used to be very, very down on Helga, but I've become increasingly, interested in playing her as, since the release of Void Archons, because they actually do a lot for how she plays. But the problem there is that your list composition runs out of points really quickly once you have all the different, mobile solos and that kind of thing. I don't know. I think Thornfall's issue is really locked into the warlocks. Pig warlocks just don't care about pig infantry enough to make you ever really want to take them. And, while pig infantry are honestly pretty solid across the board, I feel, this isn't the kind of game where you can get away running models that are completely unsupported unless they are extremely far above the curve. So no, I don't think Will Work for Food Support is exactly what the Thornfall Alliance list is missing. I think maybe Will Work for Food, if it gained a couple of more odds and ends infantry wise, would become a much more friendly, place for, some of the warlocks that don't see a lot of play. But the problem is already, one of the problems with minions is that you're already typically building two lists and Will Work for Food, and that's not exactly going to help that issue.
Right, yeah. Alright, so I think we're to the final set of questions from the Patreon backers, then I'll start shooting you questions. So this is from Cutter NYC. He says, how does being a minions player, how do you approach list building and pairings in a competitive environment?
Okay, it can be a tough one. Also, hey Cutter, I'm pretty sure we met when I was roaming around the US last year. Managed to get some games in New York, and in the aftermath of Lock and Learn, it's a lot of fun. Great people there. So for me, list building begins with writing a good Arcadius list. He solves so many problems with the way he plays, and so I'm usually looking around to see what. So the core of any Arcadius list straight away is two of each heavy, Ideally two Gumballs as well, because I just find them to be really good little problem solvers, clearing up charge lanes and providing chip damage where I need it. Not to mention helping with assassination runs and all sorts of, utility there. And throw in a Gorax for Primal. You've only got about 30 points left over after that. At the moment, that's, for me, that's usually, double Void Archons and some support stuff. But so that is a pretty good, well-rounded list that can play well into usually about 80% of the meta, almost regardless of what state the meta is in. It's one of the things I prize most about Arcadius is that he's kind of evergreen. He likes to see battle group lists. He's got tools like Lure Adrenaline on the Road Hulks for fully boosted sprays that make him pretty efficient at clearing infantry. So, and he's always at least a 50-50 into a gun line, I feel, because if he gets the first turn, he can threaten just about into an opponent's deployment line. So even if your opponent can move and shoot further than you can charge, and that's actually not always a guarantee, he'll play well into, as long as he gets that first turn, he has the sort of the run of the board, even, if he starts having to, like, forfeit a little bit of space as, the opponent advances, should still be able to get most of the scenario points on lockdown and clear them once the, opponent commits to them. So, yeah, that's the core of any minion pair, at least for me, is the Arcadius list. There will always be things you can't deal with. Like I said, I'm having a few problems finding ways to efficiently deal with Archons at the moment. Historically, I've had problems with, certain extreme armor skews, particularly if they are large numbers of single models rather than, he's okay into an armor skew if it's concentrated point wise, because that makes, tools like Crippling Grasp effective. So, champions in, Trollbloods, for example, have never particularly fazed me because I can debuff the entire unit with one spell and get a lot of work done against them. But something like Gatsby 3-9 Slayers is a bit of a thorny issue because there's so many individual tough nuts to crack that Crippling Grasp isn't really worthwhile, and while he's very good into armor generally, it's usually just a little bit too much. Though, admittedly, Hermit goes a long way in my more recent list towards solving that kind of thing. And yeah, he has other issues out on other extremes. I don't find, I can often play into Doom Reavers, I find, but I lost my semi-final game at CanCon to a, Vlad 2 Wolves of Winter list, which is always a really tough matchup because those Doom Reavers threaten almost as far as Arcadius does. So when I lost the first turn on that one, I was in a very bad spot and, had a pretty tough game the round before into Wanderer with, because again, very long threat range. He got the first turn and, I got sort of locked into my deployment zone pretty at the start of the game. So I'm usually looking around the meta when I'm building a list pair and working out what Arcadius doesn't want to see and what I can do with what I have, in faction to build against that. A lot of it's just becoming very, very familiar with what people are playing. Back in, Mark 2, I shifted to playing Midas with tons of Bone Grinders because I was having a very hard time dealing with Satixus Raiders. So I started going, okay, what can actually reliably kill a Satixus Raider? And, with Bone Grinders with their old Arcane Bolt spell were amazing at it because they were extremely accurate and they bypassed Force Barrier because they were firing off spells rather than melee attacks. And, Midas was the only one who could take an unlimited number of Bone Grinders at the time. So that list kind of ended up, writing itself a bit. And, minions don't have a big, deep pool to pull from, but I feel like they have enough. And particularly when, you're someone like me and you're so fixated on one particular list that you're going to play almost regardless of the state of the rest of the meta, usually with only small tweaks to actually accommodate the meta. That familiarity makes it really easy to guide the development of your list pair. Sturm and Drang, for example, was written as a answer to Caspi 3-9 Slayers of all things, which is why it includes like the weirdest part of that of my Sturm and Drang list, which is basically just spending my battle group points on battle ball on two battle balls and a warhog, and then the rest of the list is lesser warlocks in the form of Thalia and Scarath, but Meyer and the Dracodile and Brunn and Lug. The reason Brunn and Lug were in there was because I was playing into nine slayers and going, the Dracodile is good at like controlling the tempo of this game, but he's not very efficient at killing things that are defense 13 or higher, which is why I was looking around for mass knockdown and went, oh, Brunn and Lug actually pretty good at that, because they can go in, bear paws, knock one slayer down, hit it a second time to trigger chain attack, throw it into a second slayer, and then if your opponent, ideally you're looking to like get him into somewhere where he then can then buy an attack and knock down a third slayer, and then you just sort of TK him out of the way and the Dracodile goes in and cleans shop pretty easily, and then you feed on the rest of the slayers so that they don't really have a counterpunch, and then you rinse and repeat if you can. Which is, Brunn and Lug stayed in the list, even when, what do you call them? Gatsby sort of faded from the meta, because I was finding them, being Mat 7 and having native Pathfinder to just be really efficient and to Tharn. And, yeah, it's that sort of list construction is just, I feel when you're playing a faction that isn't on top of the meta and, that you really need to know what people are playing, because you're, that's always going to inform, if not your main list in your pair, it should certainly inform your second list. It's one of those things where you can't rely on, if you can't rely on the fact that that you're the problem that other people need to solve, then you need to know what those problems are and find solutions even in places you wouldn't ordinarily look. Like Sturm and Drang were my the caster I considered at the bottom of the faction until Under Chief Maya came out, and they have a really interesting toolbox in one specific area. And similar sort of thing with Brunn and Lug. Comfortably, I would say Brunn and Lug are comfortably the weakest of the four big lesser warlocks with their companion beasts and minions, but they do have one specific toolkit, and if that tool is what you actually find you need in your list pair, then regardless of what your original feelings on them should be, I don't think minions are ever in a position where they get to dismiss models as being useless. You have to like constantly be going back and reevaluating models to see if the problems that you're currently facing in the meta could actually be solved by something you dismissed 6 months ago.
Yeah. Okay, so this will be the final portion of his question and probably the final question for this podcast. He says, when you're doing competitive play with minions, what are the things to watch out for, the necessary tech, etc.?
Okay, so with minions as a whole, I would definitely want to keep an eye on, like I've been saying, Menite Archons, really kind of problematic. Faithful Masters lists in general are, I generally find them to be playable, but extremely difficult because everything punishes you if you kill the wrong model at the wrong time. I find minions as a whole are extremely susceptible to shooting. Though we have some warlocks who are very, very good at playing into those matchups. So that's why Frask and Arcadius are just always floating around, is because they have ways to get through and actually deliver their army. And that's honestly the first problem I think you always need to solve as a minion player, is you've not got a particularly resilient or a resilient faction, and outside of particular warlocks, you're also not necessarily fast. So you need to be thinking about how you're going to deliver your army. And that usually means you're playing those two specific warlocks who are fast, Rask and Arcadius. From there, in the current meta, I don't find Exalted to be much of a problem. Arcadius is reasonable into that matchup. if they're not running Soul Wards, then Cinnamon Drain can also be reasonable into that matchup, though they've got more of an issue of possibly getting locked out on a scenario. But conversely, Makeda 3 Beastlets I find can be a little bit problematic just because of the, well, for one, she likes running lights and models like the Cyclops Brute, which fall again into that really tricky stat line that I find so problematic with Arcadius, where I just need to nothing in the army but a heavy can reasonably kill their lights, and that is not a trade you want to be making.
Right.
So those are probably the things I keep an eye on the most. I tend to find that guns aren't too much of an issue on their own once you've like got Arcadius in the list. The problem is more how do I put it? I'm sorry, I completely lost my train of thought on that one.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That can be a good spot for us to wrap things up for this episode. Sure. So our next episode, I'll have some questions for you. We'll dive a little bit deeper into your pairings. I'll ask some further questions about minions models that you like. But first off, I wanted to thank you very much for being on this episode and giving your time to help share your knowledge with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And last thing before we sign off, you can check out discountgamesinc.com for all your gaming needs, and you can check out Muse on Minis for your gaming accessories. The last thing is I want to give a thank you to our people who support us on Patreon. You guys are awesome, and so thank you very much for the support.